Are you recording?
There's no way to know. It's really a Schrodinger model. We won't know until we look in the folder at the end and see whether or not it got recorded.
I guess that's true.
I guess that's
our fourth option, by the way, Lex, to a thing that...
Yes.
To a thing. We just do a podcast that's really only a broadcast and that's never recorded again.
Love it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the annual Rebound business meeting.
It's too many.
A semi-annual, which is to say every few years.
I like the schedule we have on turning this car around now.
That's working out well for you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, I mean, the pay sucks, but
yeah,
it's about the same as the Rebound.
Oh, ow. What, you got you don't have any turning this car around Prime members.
That's true.
Yeah, there you go.
It's crazy to think that we got expensive beds from that show.
It is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's the bubble. Yeah. The bubble has popped.
The bubble has definitely popped.
Well, what are we talking about this week?
Welcome to the bubble.
I guess it's technology, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We could mix it up. Mm. Talk about something else.
Let's go right to listener questions.
My new car got its first software update, so that was exciting.
I get it, and it's not that it's unreasonable, but a sentence still makes me feel like
is that considered a recall?
Yeah, it is also how they do recalls, but my new car was not a recall, it was just a software update. And Rivian is in an early enough phase that it's like, it's sort of like kind of very early days of iOS where sometimes, you know, we're seeing like just guesses at how features should work. You know what I mean? Like there was 3D touch and then there wasn't 3D touch again, I guess. But like now they're like, oh, here's a new gesture where you can swipe from the left side of your screen and this other thing will come out. And you can control certain settings. And that wasn't there before, as far as I know. It's just like, let's try this version of an interface. And I think that's fun. As long as they don't break the stuff that works, it's kind of fun that they're just experimenting in a car. It's great. It's great. It's good. I don't mean to sound sarcastic. It actually is great.
I've been trying for a long time to get them to... So I think as I talked about years ago when I did this, I put in a different head unit to do CarPlay in my car. And it's an OEM unit, so it's basically the same... Like, it's essentially what Volkswagen uses, just it's a newer version of the one I had when I bought my car. So it was really easy to just pop in and, like, the thing, because it's the same exact, like, buttons almost. It's just got a slightly different software, and it supports CarPlay and Android Auto. However, one of the things that's bugged me about it since day one is that it also has, by default, a support for a backup camera, which my car does not have. And so every time I shift into reverse, it's like, whoa, there's no camera. No,
it would be cool if it just showed some nearby rearview camera.
I think
here's the closest we can get.
Traffic cams across the nation,
exceptionally dangerous.
Yeah,
but it warns me, and I have to like dismiss like a dialogue box on the screen. And at some point, I asked around, and someone's like, "Oh, you know, you can have the dealer just disable that." But like, I've struggled in the past trying to explain these things to my dealer. Like, okay, I just want you to turn this thing off. So I keep trying to figure out if like maybe there's like a you know, a hack or a workaround or something, a secret menu, like an In-N-Out that I can go to. And
I have a lot of confusing
take it to In-N-Out.
I have a lot of confusing conversations with my dealer too, and they also often involved In-N-Out. So yeah,
and a secret menu. Yeah.
I don't know.
Lex doesn't have any help for me. He's got jokes though.
Can you install a camera?
We don't own your car, Dan.
No, this is why I came here for answers. Okay,
you came to the wrong place.
This isn't neutral, true. For God's sake.
Yeah. I thought about installing a camera. I guess like the question is,
I don't know how you live without the camera. Honestly,
I agree.
Just look backwards like I have my entire life. I don't understand.
You're twisting your body, Dan. You're in your 40s. What are you doing?
You're gonna break something.
Multiverse is 40s.
I just don't want to end up like one of those guys in Wall-E, like I stuck in my
Although
chair
I think
all
my,
the time.
I think my no, back I started hurting around. When I got the camera, you know? I think So I don't know if that's related.
But your lacking camera day reminds me of, this was now probably 16 years ago, I had a friend who, like many new parents, had a video monitor. And he's, maybe I told this when you were talking about your monitor story, but
I think
he was
so. Is this the,
looking
the,
at his kid. Yeah, somebody else's yeah. hand was Someone going else. On his kid's yeah. crib. But it was a different camera. It was a neighbor's camera. So that's what I was thinking about when I was talking about your reverse camera. Like, could you have somebody else's reverse camera?
I mean, could you hook up
a looping video?
Or Lex's front door.
What if it just showed me like CBS or something? I don't know. Like, oh yeah, you can get CBS on this, but only when you shift into reverse. Really,
you can only get
Quibi.
Special deal.
I'm more of a Tubi guy myself.
I see there is a story this morning that iMessage will not be required to be interoperable with other messaging platforms in the EU.
Yeah.
As will Microsoft Bing, because they are not popular enough in the EU.
Guess so.
Which I guess is one of those really like, yeah, what's the opposite of a backhanded compliment?
Damned with faint praise?
I guess maybe that's four-handed insult. I assume that's the opposite of a backhanded compliment.
I guess so.
I had four-handed, like that's how many hands they had. You meant the four?
No.
It makes a lot more sense when it's four-handed.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So I guess Apple's probably pretty excited about that, because I can't imagine them, the idea that they would have to like interoperate with like WhatsApp or something. I think they would all like blow a gasket over there, frankly.
Yeah.
Like that seems even more annoying than doing all the App Store stuff.
Yeah. There's still that thing in the UK that is actually coming back again.
Is that the security?
Yeah.
It's this thing where they have to tell the government tell the government if they're essentially patching something that is a way that the government
right.
uses
and the, and
to
the government,
get information
and the government,
on people's phones.
Right, and the government can say, no, don't patch that because we're using it. We're using that exploit.
It was unclear how much veto power they had on it to me. I thought it was like, yeah, the government certainly downplayed that aspect of it.
Yeah.
That does seem exceptionally questionable and real bad if it happens.
Yeah. Good luck, UK listeners.
Governments having a good time.
Nobody's bought a Vision Pro since we spoke last.
Is this what this show is now? It's updates on whether or not we bought a Vision Pro.
It was one of those canary things where we all just have to say, I still don't have a Vision Pro.
I'm just waiting for one of you to cave.
I think Moltz is.
I don't think there's a cave
lottery.
Environment. I think there's the moon. You get the moon. You get Yosemite. Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the moon if not a cave in space?
It's not that.
Outdoors, an inverse cave, if you will.
I will not. But I actually really liked Chasen Snell's review on Six Colors.
Never heard of it.
Jason is the only staff member at Six Colors. Just kidding. No, but he wrote a review that really spoke to me, where he talked about how
Lex buy a Vision Pro.
Exactly. No, it really did not convince me to buy it, which is part of why I liked it.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
But he talked about like what he liked about it, and that the most interesting thing to me that Jason had talked about. Well, there was a lot of interesting things, but he talked about how he has already gotten into solitary movie watching with some of the other VR headsets that he has, and. So like he's like, boy, it does that really well. It does it better than the other ones. And that to me is like a very significant hurdle. And Jason and I have different lives in that he is basically now an empty nester. His kids are,
you are
in college
people
and beyond.
Too.
Yes. But like I would feel very weird going in like headset isolation mode to watch a movie when there's kids who might want to do stuff with me at some point. And so I don't know. I appreciated his take of what the stuff is that he likes. I think it's fascinating from his review. I learned that it doesn't remember where your windows were when you restart it. I guess that makes sense if you think of it as iOS-y, but it doesn't make sense if you think about a Mac, which like knows where you like your windows to go most of the time.
Yeah, I wonder if that feels like a thing that may get changed.
I'm curious. It could, for sure, but there's no prior art for iOS to remember that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but
window management, I think, feels like something that's still very like literally up in the air with Vision Pro.
But I don't know.
Thanks for that laugh.
I still don't want one, so it's good. That's. The thing that stuck out to me about Jason's review that I found really surprising, and not surprising at the same time, is how bad multi-user support really is. Like, it doesn't actually have multi-user support.
No, it's terrible.
And if you do guest mode, it forgets everything about that guest as soon as they take it off again.
Yeah, like, that I agree with you that that's hot. Yeah. Hot garbage. Yeah. I mean, there are things I understand about like guest mode being limited because, for example, if you're buying something that is sized very much for you, right? Like, yeah, somebody else can use it, but they may have a subpar experience. Totally fine. I get it. Like, if you lived in a household where it's like, oh, both of us are going to be using this enough, you would probably invest in like a separate one of the light shields or whatever that fits the other person. But yeah, multi-user support on I'm still kind of pissed about lack of multi-user support on the iPad, frankly, all these years later, because it does feel like that feels like a deliberate withholding to me in a way that the iPhone, I don't care about it, right? I'm not sharing my iPhone with anybody else.
It's much, it seems, for whatever reason, it seems much less likely, right? It's a much more personal device as opposed to the iPad.
Yeah, the iPad really does feel like a case where, and you know, if you, there is a facility for that with education management, right? And like, it does exist.
Yeah.
It's just not a thing they've spent time building out or really thinking about. I mean, even it blows my mind that even the Apple TV has better multi-user support than the iPad. Yeah. Like, that is wild.
Is it just, it does sort of seem like it's just a case of them wanting to sell more iPads.
Yes, that's I think the thing that feels bad about it, is that it feels like artificially ginned up to be, let's sell more iPads. And honestly, I don't feel like that's working for them. Like, they're doing fine in iPads, but it's not like, you know, if you look at the iPad sales, like, historically, like, they're not amazing. Like, I don't know how many sales that's actually getting them, as opposed to being like, hey, we want to buy, like, we may be more likely to buy a new iPad on the regular if we are using it more frequently amongst our entire family.
And I don't think or I might buy a more expensive one, maybe. I mean, you know, I would buy more storage. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely that. But I don't. Yeah, I mean, in our house, Karen and I both have iPads, and we would not share because we use them too much. But every once in a while, I do, like, you know, Hank wants to watch something, or, you know, or whatever. I would hand it to Hank, and I'm like, don't screw with my stuff.
Right.
I wish I didn't have to do that, you know?
And I'm going to hit that point in the next year or so.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and I have like an old one that we're probably going to give to the kid eventually as just like a straight up like video player. But like, it's old enough too that I'm like, oh God, it's probably, you know, I don't know how recent OS and stuff it runs. I don't know what performance will be like on some of that stuff. And I would be fine giving him, you know, mine or my wife's iPad if there were a way to be like, let's just lock this into a guest mode where he can't affect anything. And I mean, that exists on the Mac and has existed on the Mac for, you know, 25 years or so almost. It just feels annoying that they haven't done the iPad. Yeah. So I feel like that's a thing. I kind of was thinking the other day, is like, I feel like that, and you need a new push. We need a new push for Apple to start thinking about this. Like, hey, here's a big new feature you could introduce in iPad OS.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that will get enough traction, unfortunately, because it seems relatively isolated in terms of the number of people who really want it and want it enough to complain about it consistently, I guess, is the thing. And it doesn't seem like the kind of thing they're going to budge on anytime in the near future. It's they seem to think that this situation is working.
And there's even an environmental case to make, right? Because Apple likes to describe itself as a pretty environmentally conscious company. And I think that you could have, maybe bad for business, but you could have fewer pieces of hardware that people had to have.
I love that. We are supporting the environment by selling less.
Yeah, they should.
I mean, you're not wrong, but also it's a thing they will never say, right?
Like, also,
it's a little bit like the iMessage thing we just discovered. Just discussed. Like, our iMessage, this product is so unpopular, but it's because we're really trying to save the environment.
And I'm very curious, Dan, what your experience will be with old iPads, by the way, because, you know, we hang on to iPads for a very long time. And one of my kids uses one almost for years, was using an older iPad mini exclusively as a Netflix and Disney Plus watching machine. And then it couldn't even do that. Like, it just got, it's, you know, through no abuse or misuse, in some cases, it's like you can't get the latest versions of the apps anymore because they stopped supporting older versions of iOS.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue. The old one we have, I was trying to look up what version of iOS it will run. I think it's an Air 2. I'm not sure it will run.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those. It's a little long in the tooth.
Yeah. So I think what's likely to happen there is probably my wife's iPad, which is my old iPad Pro, which is like the one with the, still has a home button and stuff. So like a 10.5 inch iPad Pro, that one would probably move down and we'd probably get her a new iPad is my guess. Because that one's still fine. It's not great. Like for some of the stuff you try to do, it's not amazing, but like it's perfectly serviceable for a lot of stuff. It still runs the most current versions of the OS, I believe. And that would be fine for just a media playing device for a few years. And then, you know, eventually I'm sure we'd have to replace it, but like, I think we are entering the sort of trickle down device economy phase in my household.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club, Dan.
It's going to make a real question someday with the upgrade program is like whether I'm going to finally back out of the upgrade program because
I want to keep
the phones to hand them down.
Right.
But we never did, but like, I feel like if I ever got to the point where I wanted, like, my instinct is that doing the buyout on one and then staying in the program would be the better move, but I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, because I'm still going to, the trickiness is I'm still going to want a new phone most years for things. And then, but I don't, my
I think you'll find
need a new phone every year.
I think, I don't know. It seems to me like getting like an SE or another cheaper device that you're probably not going to want anyway is probably a better way to go, because eventually what's going to happen is, I mean, you'll if you did the hand-me-down thing, you'll get by for a few years, and then your child will get their own opinion about what kind of device they want. And then it becomes like I don't want your hand-me-down because I don't want your stupid little tiny phone.
Fair point. Well, then you can save your money, man, and get your own phone.
Yeah, that's what, But you know,
I've been
well taught by my father.
That is,
I found it was easier to, like, you know, I wasn't going to buy him a Pro, but I would get him whatever the most reasonably priced option was for the kind of thing that he wanted.
I think the answer, he
would always want a bigger phone than I want anyway. So I'm not going to force him to. I wasn't going to force. Eventually, I decided I wasn't going to force him to use the little phone.
I am intrigued a few years down the road because I think the most likely scenario is before he gets a phone, probably gets a cheap Apple Watch because you can do that sort of, they can now be set up for kids like as part of your account. And so like, I know that still has some issues, but something where it has like limited communications and some like, you know, Find My support basically is what I'm looking for. That's
I
really care
about. I mean, an Apple Watch SE and an iPad is a fairly good combination.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fine combination. So I don't think, unfortunately, we're still a little ways away from this, but
Yeah. And I also implanted one AirTag in each kid. Mm-hmm. And that way I just always know where they are. Well, speaking of no good segue, this episode of The Rebound is brought to you by Rebound Prime. And
man,
many
I love
episodes
that they keep coming
quarter.
Back as a sponsor every time. It's really
well. They talked about. They talked about not.
Damn,
they were on the fence.
Damn.
But if you're interested in supporting the Rebound, because you are different from advertisers, then go to prime.reboundcast.com. You get many perks. Sometimes you get to hear episodes that literally nobody else ever gets to hear. But it's you're guaranteed to be able to hear us as we record live. You get bootlegs, you get bonus episodes, and you get the ability to submit questions that we answer right here on this very podcast. So go to prime.reboundcast.com. Right now we're offering a special promo. If you sign up, we'll be grateful. So that's the promo. Listener Chris says, how many times between you have you checked the audio hijack settings today? I checked twice since we started recording.
I think I checked twice as well.
I did not.
I'm checking right now. I checked both Alexa's and Moltz for them as well.
Thanks.
Nice. With the remote access software installed on their computers.
Listener Jason says, I have yet to read a review of the Apple Vision Pro that makes me feel like the trade-off of how much I would love the technology is worth the isolating experience of being in the bubble using
the device.
Yeah,
Lex, you don't need to submit questions under fake names, okay?
Have any of you felt like similarly, or are you only turned off by the price? I'm definitely like, listen, if it were $100, I would buy it even though there's things I don't like, but it's the price is not the sole factor that makes me not want it. I do. There's something about it that makes me feel weird is what it comes down to.
I have a question for you, Lex, just a thought experiment. If you were still in your old job where you ended up traveling very frequently, do you think that would change your use case for this?
Honestly, I think that it's, I can only tell you what I'm thinking in this seat, but I think no, because when I was traveling a lot, it was 5+ hours or four to 6 hour flights. And an Apple Vision Pro can't even get me through that flight.
Well, I'm not even thinking just flights, but I'm thinking you spend a lot of time in hotels.
Yeah.
And like, man, you could have like a giant like movie theater in your hotel, or you could have a giant screen for doing
You could book a tiny little business hotel.
And you could have, you could live like was, one of those yeah. capsule hotels, right? Mm-hmm. And then you'd have a giant screen. It'd be amazing.
Don't go to a capsule hotel.
You could sleep in a drawer. The hottest new hotel in New York. It's called Morgue.
I think I wouldn't. I don't know. It feels like so expensive that I'd be nervous to travel with it. Like, I don't know.
It's also a bit of a packing. It's a bit of a packing issue too. I mean, you can pack it, but you don't have to take it in. You know, in the I'm sure there are going to be more cases that come out that are much slimmer.
There already are. There already are. Waterfield's got one.
Yeah. So it's but still, I guess it's not small.
Price aside, I guess is my question, because we already established that is part of the factor. I was just curious to feel like if that was a, because that always seemed like a more compelling use case for me is like, man, you're in a hotel room or you're like by yourself. And it's like, well, I could just throw something on the TV, but I could also have this amazing giant like movie theater experience and something more expansive. I'm in a hotel
Thompson,
right where I don't have anybody
Ben Thompson's
with me.
Like his strategy column today is specifically about this issue about traveling.
Okay,
he called it life changing using it on the plane. So there's one
fascinating. I mean, when it works in a glasses form in X years, and I'm curious what everything's X is. Like even then, I think I'll be annoyed by it because I love not wearing glasses. Like I'm a contact lens wearer because I hate the experience of wearing glasses. I always have. Like I'll wear sunglasses, but I hated wearing prescription glasses. Yes, because I don't like the way they. I don't like that I can see the glasses. Is what
the
it comes
peripheral
after.
Vision
it always bothered me.
I was talking about this with Jason the other day because I felt like that was a change for me. I went from wearing, you know, sunglasses when I was younger that were more like not rimless, but like. Had very thin like rims frames on them too. I've been wearing Ray-Bans for like a decade now, like Wayfarers, and like they have a very thick chunky frame on them, and I agree it took me a long time to get used to having that in my peripheral vision, but like I don't know, at a certain point I just got used to it and like it doesn't bother me anymore. I don't really think about it anymore, but I do remember it being an issue in like the first year or so I wore it. I was like, oh, this is weird, like I've never remember being able to see this much like frame in my peripheral vision. So I guess my point is the human brain is adaptable, and I think you would get used to
your human brain is adaptable.
It is. It's one of the best things about my human brain.
Listener Bridge says, this one was one that was answered in Discord. So I'm going to shorten it, but, all of iLife is free in the App Store. there's no cost. And we know that mostly thanks to listeners, EM Knox. That's right. Yeah. If you buy a Mac.
If you buy a PC, screw you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. In more than one way. Listener Sarva says, some of the shows I listen to have ads for other shows in them. And so far, there's not a single show that has sounded appealing. Looking at you, Wondery. Have you heard any ads like this that are good? If you had to record one, what would you say? There's a lot happening in this question,
There is
Sarva.
A lot happening. We have definitely, I mean, I'm sure on this show and on the other show, as I recall, we definitely had to do ads for other podcasts.
I definitely
haven't
clockwise, too.
And
we mostly have had to do them for branded podcasts as opposed for good podcasts.
Right. Yeah. And I remember having to listen to one of them to read the ad.
Yeah,
and it was an unpleasant experience. I don't remember, for the life of me, I could not tell you which one it was. But
it was about technology.
We've had some decent ones at clockwise that were technology focused, but also sounded, you know, at least reasonably interesting. So I could, you know, but there's definitely other ones where it's like, hey, it's a business to business focused podcast. I was like, yeah, you lost me already.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Maybe that's what we should do. Like, you know, since the ads are drying up, we should just do ads for other podcasts, you know, like people we like.
Just like people
so,
like,
so yeah, but we can do clockwise
every month.
Let's do an ad for clockwise.
It's a short list. The benefit, the reason why you hear podcast ads on podcasts, and maybe this is stating the obvious, but just in this case it's not, is because like if you were going to do social ads or out of home ads like billboards or, you know, whatever, any other ads, you have to do two things. You have to convince a person to use podcasts at all, and then specifically to listen to the one that you're promoting. The benefit of promoting podcasts on podcasts is you already have converts to the medium who know how to listen. And so telling them about another show can make sense. There's nothing that can successfully grow a podcast audience on the paid side more than other podcast ads, in my experience. I like podcast ads the most when they show up in the post roll, and nobody wants to buy the post roll. But if you go, hey, now that you're all done listening to this, go check out this other show.
It feels very courteous, right?
Yeah. In the mid roll, nobody's going to stop listening.
Well, I honestly hated the pre roll. I've been listening a little bit to The Town, which is the Matt Bellany, who writes for Puck News about like streaming and like Hollywood. And that show, I don't know, I guess it's on The Ringer. And they always open with like pre-roll ads for other shows, which I hate because it's like, am I tuned into the right show? Right? Like, weird to not open a show with your own content to me. That bothers me. Like, I'm like, I'm hitting play on this episode, and the first thing I hear is nothing to do with the thing that I hit play to listen to.
Yeah. And it's a little bit more work to put your pre-rolls in a minute or two later, but I do appreciate shows that do that. Like, hey, welcome to this, here's what we're doing today, and blah, 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 and now here's some ads.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that. You want to give me a little cold open, a little tease, and then jump to an ad? Sure, I'm okay with that. I'm just saying, buy me dinner first.
So when you hear a lot of ads for other shows, if there are other Wondery shows, so if Wondery's... And I'm trying to talk about this in a way that has nothing to do with my knowing my having worked there. But so like if Wondery is running ads for other Wondery shows, that tells me two things. One, they didn't have an ad to run in that spot. And two, they are working to grow their other shows. They want as much audience as possible. When you hear Wondery running ads for other network shows, those are paid slots.
Those are ad ads.
It's like when John and I used to watch a lot of shows in the CW and every other ad would be for another show on the CW. It's like,
or the show that I was watching.
You enjoy the show. Perhaps
watch
also
Arrow. I'm literally trying to watch Arrow and you're showing me an ad.
I have heard ads for podcasts that worked for me. In fact, I'm listening to a show right now that I heard from a podcast ad.
Is it this one?
Yes. It's about the princesses of something.
It's really stuck for you, I can tell.
Yeah right. No, I don't know the names of any books that I read either. But the new episode just came out today. It's in the dark feed, and it's called The Runaway Princesses, and that's a good one.
Good title.
It's a true story that I knew nothing about. I will say ads for shows that show up on This American Life, where it's Ira Glass literally saying, by the way, before we get started, you should check out this other podcast. His hit rate in terms of listing shows that I will like is about 100%. So if Ira Glass recommends it, I don't even know if those are paid or if it's some other kind of in-kind thing. But when Ira Glass says I'll like a show, he is right every time. So that's my take. Oh, and so if we were going to record an ad for The Rebound, what would we say?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
Fuck Gruber, fuck ATP. Listen to The Rebound. I think that would be all right.
That'll definitely get played.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you guys write any ads?
Good.
I'm improvising here.
Was I supposed to? Was there homework?
Yeah, I didn't. I was not aware of my assignment. Hey, if you like irreverent technology, nope. I've already tuned out. I've already tuned out of my own ad read. I was so bored.
Let's see. Listener Mahir says, "What is/was your favorite thing to do on a snow day?"
Oh yeah,
I mean, yeah. Boy.
I mean, as a kid, we'd always have snowball fights. We would with the neighbors. Like, you know, I feel like this went on from my childhood memory. My faulty childhood memory has this happening from beginning of November through like the end of March. That definitely did not happen. But we live in a cul-de-sac, and it's slightly, inclined, and so we can sled down the street, there's usually no traffic because it's cul-de-sac. So. We have done that for a number of years. We don't tend to do it anymore because Hank's older now. But that was we have many many fond memories of doing that.
Go ahead, Lex.
I was just saying I loved playing in the snow as a kid. I still would now actually, but now I'm just always working. The thing that's annoying right now is like
Cute Cat Stevens.
Today, everybody in my house has off, except for me because I had to work and do this fucking thing, and so. I had to work all day anyway.
But for no money.
I think it would be exactly. But I think that I love the idea of having like a do nothing day in the middle of the week. That feels very exciting. Like, oh, we're just gonna watch videos all day and play games. Like, that sounds fun. Yeah,
I think I'm fundamentally like an indoorsy kind of person. And so I like to I like to stand inside, make a cup of hot chocolate, watch a movie, read a book. Something like that. Like, I agree with you. It's just the freedom from having obligations is kind of the best part. And like, yeah, I like to go and sled, and then I like building snowmen and stuff like that. But I think I've always just tended to be more of an indoor person. I'm the flip side of my child, who today, as it was like raining heavily and snowing earlier, he just looks and just going, outside? outside? I'm like, no, it's like pouring outside.
Yeah. Outside?
Yeah. No, we're not going outside.
It's like having a dog. a little bit. It's constantly like that. Outside, outside. No, thank you.
Yeah, not today.
Listener Jason says, the rebound is to Apple Watch as what is to Apple Vision Pro?
Clearly, the rebound.
Once we get one.
Just one.
I don't know. What am I supposed to recommend? One. Another podcast here?
Yeah.
I think all three ATP hosts got one, so that seems like a good bet.
I have listened
that,
to
that was the, much I think of that the, was the obvious answer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've listened to much of both the both Upgrade and Connected about them talking about their Vision Pro experiences. So I guess if that's the content you're looking for, you can abandon us. Just leave us alone here in the
people
dark.
People actually own the devices.
Why don't you go jump right in the middle of the episode, you weirdos?
Yeah.
Don't even wait till the end. Listener Yitz says, well, this is a weirdly phrased question, Yitz. Have any of you not used a Quest/Quest 3/ some other modern VR headset? I have not. So yes is my answer to that question.
Yeah. I had to read that twice. Same answer.
I don't think I've used any Quest headsets. I think I used either a PSVR or a HTC Vive. I don't remember which one it was, but it was when my friend was working at a VR startup, and I went over and tested their product. But like, I think that's the only time I've ever used one. And that was a long time ago now.
I wore Google Glass at a Mac.
Yeah, I have a picture of Lexus.
I wore as well, yeah.
Same.
I have some quick follow-up. I'm told that Syracuse doesn't yet have
Vision Pro. Yeah.
And the Connected or Upgrade is what listener over here says we should say is the Apple Vision Pro podcast. So
I mean, those are definitely more. Yeah.
And then finally, listener ZM Knox says in their own follow-up question, should I install Vision OS 1.1 Beta 2 on my very expensive brand new device?
Go listen to another podcast.
No, you should not.
I say yes.
Yes, do it. Do it.
We're recording this time, okay?
Are we?
Well, we hope to be.
Once again, that was all those questions are from Rebound Prime listeners. If you want to ask questions and also support us, since no advertisers currently want to until a couple weeks from now, go to prime.reboundcast.com. And sign up today.
There's an interesting Apple published the privacy features of PDF on privacy aspects of the Vision Pro, and it's kind of cool because there's a lot of stuff that happens on the device, like rendering your environment happens on the device and is not shared with apps, as well as like when you look at things, when you're looking at like menu items within apps, those interactions are not actually shared with the applications themselves. I guess it's just the triggering event that gets shared with the application, obviously. That would have to be. But
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. But there was an article in the Washington Post a couple weeks ago where the guy was like, it's a privacy nightmare. And most everything in this seems to refute everything he said. Like, it's like everyone's going to know, you know, like weird. All these app developers are going to have you like the inside, you know, an inside view to your home. And it's like, that's not the way it works.
Yeah, they specifically did talk. I remember them talking specifically about like when they announced it, what information would be accessible to developers. And it was like very clearly set up so as they could not essentially like do ad tracking, right? Like they didn't want to like have them know what are you looking at, right? Like what are you looking at right now in an app? It's all abstracted away from
them. I'm pretty curious. In every reviewer and every review mentions how lousy the typing experience is, unless you're using an external keyboard. And it feels maybe like it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing again for Apple, where they're like, well, if you don't include it, then they'll say, hey, there's no way to type there. But like, maybe there isn't a great way. I don't know. But it seems like crazy to me that the shipping way to type on it is like, here's a really crappy way to type.
Well, I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't do something different.
I don't know what the alternative is, I guess. Is like
most of those, from what I've heard, most of those things where they should, you know, like you brought sort of project a keyboard onto the table and you type onto a physical thing also don't work very well.
Yeah, I think... It's not to say there isn't something better they could do, but I think this is kind of the best they figured out for the moment. And the answer is it may require more like better technology to get to a point of something that works better. I don't think it's ever going to be as good as typing on a physical keyboard. Right. Frankly, typing on an iPad isn't as good as a physical keyboard. Frankly,
oh, for sure.
Typing on an iPhone is not as good as a physical keyboard. Like there is, I have never found, and you know, certainly there are people who type on an iPhone way better than I do, but I find it a struggle sometimes. And so I was, think a physical keyboard is definitely
today,
still tops.
Having never worn an AVP, I had this theory today, like, what if they could put a virtual iPhone in your hand that you could type on, where it could just follow like your, because I feel most of us have likely started having typos on an iOS keyboard when you're in, you've shifted over to the special characters, but you still know where the characters, the letters you want are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, so
where
it
you
just like mistype typing a swear, basically.
Right. Yeah. And like, when I'm doing them, I'm like, oh, I would have typed the right word had the keyboard been there, because you get kind of good at knowing where those keys are. It's like, what? Like, I don't, it just feels like, yes, it's never going to be as good as typing on a tangible keyboard, I don't think. But this is really meant to be affectionate towards Apple and not judgmental. I just expect such big, crazy creative thinking from them that I'm surprised that they're like, well, you can look at this keyboard one letter at a time, or you tap on this virtual keyboard in a shitty way. Like, that's it? That's what we got after all those years? I don't have the answer, but they have a lot of money.
It's virtual, though, right? I mean, that's the fundamental thing, is I think there is a struggle with it. Like, again, same with the software keyboards in the iPhone and the iPad. It's like, I don't know, maybe there's an answer with, like, what if you could swipe type, right? Like on that keyboard or something, and you use your hand, and like, rather than tapping one at a time, if you could do swipe typing, that might be better.
Yep.
I don't know. What if you could, you know, draw letters in the air with your hand? Like, that would be insane, but I'm not sure it would be better, but I would like, would I like to see them try it? Sure. That sounds wild.
It's interesting to me, you know, that when you look at some features of iOS like that, you know, on or iPadOS with that little cursor, or is it continuity when you switch from one device to the other and it all just keeps working? Like a lot of those
control.
Things, universal control. Thank you. A lot of those
Which
things
does
feel
work
like
with the AVP.
They were thinking about AVP when they built some of those features. And, but autocorrect has always been kind of crappy. And in the, you know, I know iOS 17 had a feature of autocorrect, maybe sucks a little bit less. But like, I feel like if it were even further ahead, that's what I kind of want, right? If I'm going to type there, like, what do I think you're going to want to type there? Like, how good can I get my suggestions that I can help you type much faster? Like, I could even imagine, you know, I like what they're doing when you see when you're looking down at your real keyboard, it'll put some auto suggest words above it that you can virtually type on.
But
like,
that's very clever.
It should, I feel like it should, like, more of that. Like, if I'm looking at a virtual keyboard, I should see lots of words, maybe more words than I would typically be looking. I don't know. It just seems crazy to me. That's all. Thank you. That was my little essay.
How about a virtual
keyboards.
Dictionary that you just page through and then tap on the word that you want?
Love it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not enough dictionary apps anymore.
talk to James.
I think there are still people on that train, but
just the dictionary train.
it's the word train.
Choo choo.
You also sound like my kid.
Well, everybody loves a train, Dan. Come on.
I mean, who doesn't love a train? It's true.
Yeah.
Like a good train. Like a good train. I don't know. Are we really done with the show?
We got one more question if you want to do a real-time question.
Right. Sure, yeah.
I'll take one real-time question.
Friend of the show and listener Billo says, Billo, by the way, is also my Rivian confidant. He and I bought him around the same time. He got his first. Remember when macOS got the menu items and menu bar items spaced out and Apple denied they were making a touchscreen Mac? Did they do it so you could use eye tracking on a Mac screen on Apple Vision Pro?
Ooh.
The answer is yes. Thank you for asking. The answer is yes.
Yeah, probably true.
That's the is that the reverse Betteridge law?
Yes.
Yeah. All questions asked to the rebound are automatically answered yes.
Be very careful.
Should I install a beta Vision OS operating system? Yeah, sure. Two out of the three hosts said yeah, so I guess that's our answer.
It's the default. It's like the OK button being highlighted.
All right. Well, once again, go to Rebound Prime. Then you'll hear whatever we're about to record next, which is going to be even better than this episode was, if you can imagine.
Hard to picture.